This podcast is for people who are ready to heal body, mind, and spirit, and are willing to take full responsibility for what that involves. I am not a doctor. I am not a therapist. This podcast contains adult language and themes that are not suitable for young children or those who are easily offended or triggered. The views discussed in this podcast are my own, based on personal experience and of those I have known and worked with for my entire adult life. This show is not meant to take the place of sound medical or mental health advice. You, and only you, are responsible for the choices you make based on the information you hear on this show. Welcome to the Alchemy of Natural Healing. I'm your host, Laurel Dewey. True healing is an alchemical process, meaning it must transform you on all levels, body, mind, and spirit. What affects one affects all three. True healing is one of the hardest journeys you'll ever travel, but it's one of the most rewarding and fulfilling when you get to meet yourself for the first time. If you're ready to take that journey, let's get started. Welcome to episode 4. Today's show title is, Do You Truly Want to Be Powerful? Then Stop Giving Away Your Power. In last week's episode, we talked about cultivating the internal flame within yourself in order to have the fire energy that is needed to heal. This episode is all about how nourishing that fire eventually leads to developing your power center. But what is true power, and how do you guard against the ingrained patterns that trick you into giving away your power? From someone who grew up from birth steeped in the alternative health, mind, body, and personal empowerment fields, I have a dirty little secret to share with you. There are a lot of weakened people who are chained to the personal empowerment movement, and they are weakened by their own desperation, their lack of discernment, their insatiable finding a savior complex, and their blindness that prevents them from seeing how their many weaknesses are consistently exploited by those they put on tall pedestals. They claim they are looking for power, and it's even embedded in the word empowerment, no less. But most of them have no clue what the word power actually means, nor do they have any understanding of how to embody true power. You have two types of people who are drawn toward the personal empowerment movement. The first group are the people who are genuinely searching for the path that will help them take back their health and emotional well-being. The second group of people are the ones who are more than happy to manipulate their power of persuasion over that first group with the conscious or unconscious intention of keeping that first group of people in a perpetually powerless state of being. That's right, powerless. How does this happen? It happens by stringing good people along, encouraging them to buy lots of books about empowerment, strongly suggesting they attend tons of workshops on the subject, guilting them into participating in online courses, shamelessly selling them on the notion that purchasing enormous amounts of expensive empowerment tools will give them an edge over others, or tempting them to take part in a once-in-a-lifetime event that oddly seems to occur very frequently. And when they find a target that shows strong dedication to their cause, they go in for the kill. They offer you an opportunity to be part of a 3 to 5 day event, which is typically called an intense immersion, which also happens to be intensely expensive since these things are always held at high-end resort-type locations. Because, you know, there's nothing like maxing out your credit card to really harness your power, right? Because the path to finding your true power is lined with organic tea lights set against the backdrop of a 5-star sanctuary that offers gluten-free and vegan options and enough green tea to choke a horse. These immersions are always promoted as very special and very limited in space, which gives you the impression that participants will have an extraordinary private experience with unprecedented access and personal time with their beloved healer or teacher. But when you get there after enduring an exhausting trip, you discover that the small special group actually consists of 75 to 100 people who will all be crammed into a room that they can barely fit in, all lying on their backs with a blanket covering them, like a group of preschoolers at nap time. You'll be given eye coverings, and there will be a guided meditation with a singular drum beat or an occasional tingling of a bell. And this will put some of those people into an altered state where the potential for them to become unconsciously triggered can occur. And it just takes three or four of those people in that room getting triggered to send a wave of chaos through that small space. And since there's usually only one facilitator for every 10 to 12 participants, you want to hope that you're not lying next to a person who has a high meltdown potential. And I will go into more detail about what I just said, because I'm not confusing sarcasm with wit. Healing is a serious business, and your heart and soul should never be pried open in front of a room full of strangers. So during your stay, you'll get to experience a lot of drama you never asked for, as well as a lot of unexpected free time, which is lovingly referred to as reflection time. That's when you either read a book, you write like a maniac in your brand new journal you bought just for the retreat, you sob uncontrollably in hammocks, you take a nap, or work on your tan. This is also when your beloved healer or teacher takes a 2 to 4 hour break, and when you also begin to realize that you don't have the access to them that you thought you would have. And when your stay is over, you don't have more power than when you arrived, but you keep trying to tell yourself that you do. But you do have a great tan and a cute overpriced t-shirt, and you keep trying to convince yourself that you really do feel different. And yes, you may leave on a high note, but 1 week later, you are once again deflated when the dopamine rush slows to a trickle and your tan starts to fade. Being in and around the alternative health industry my entire life, I've seen these same patterns repeated too many times, the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, and on up. Nothing has changed. And it always breaks my heart when I see someone who absolutely believes that a healer or motivational teacher is truly helping them take back their power, when in fact, that individual is just keeping them in a constant state of limbo, of want, of need, teasing those dangling carrots, using the same manipulations, the same promises, the same artificial highs that crash into lows, the same stringing good people along to keep them feeling somewhat more positive, but never allowing them to inhale and inhabit their own personal power. Because if the people who went to these events did in fact become stronger and more contained in their energy field, they would no longer need the workshop or the immersion or the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity anymore. So the people in charge wouldn't just lose that individual, they'd lose a revenue stream. And if that sounds rude or insensitive to you, you need to step back and take a seriously hard look at what you are buying into. The job of a genuine healer, or whoever you trust your heart and soul to, should be to get you to a point where you eventually don't need them anymore. That is how you inhabit your true internal power. Depending upon anything outside yourself for any long period of time without examining it, refusing to question what it's providing for you, and being unwilling to renegotiate your relationship to it is not how you will heal. I've stated from day one on my first show that you and only you have the power within to heal yourself. All those other elements and strategies that you use are just tools that either contribute to you gaining more awareness and moving along in your healing journey, or they contribute to stagnation in your healing progress. Hear me when I tell you that nothing outside of you is going to fix what is broken inside you. Outside elements can support you and give you the fortification you need. But if you're not willing to jump off the diving board and into the dark pool within yourself that holds all the answers, all you're doing is giving away your power. I don't think the people who are the big engines in this alternative healing and empowerment movement understand what true transformational power is. I think I'm qualified to make that statement because I've literally had decades of experience within this movement, whether it's as a minor player in the field, as a writer and a teacher, or as someone who was on the other side seeking help at my lowest times. And I've observed and been witness to what I consider an egregious flaunting of undisciplined ego and a shocking disrespect for the good people who are seeking help. You know, the people they claim they want to empower. You know, when most of the big names in this industry talk about power, they always cloak it in these nebulous slogans instead of clearly articulating how to actually embrace your own power so you can use it to heal. They love to lump the words strength, courage, and power together. I don't agree. Power is something that you possess. Strength and courage are two qualities needed to inhabit your power. Strength and courage are what you call upon in order to activate your power. But true power, from an alchemical point of view, is developed and constantly nourished until it becomes an intrinsic, integrated part of you. You may not have enough strength or courage some days to go on, but if you have consciously built and nurtured your power center, that's the well you can continually rely upon, and that will inject this motivation and energy you need to keep going. You know, what I've discovered about the true nature of personal power is most likely not what you think it is. I touched on this briefly in the first episode when I stated that power has nothing to do with ego. And the problem that I've typically encountered is too many of the teachers and supposed healers are raging egomaniacs and total control freaks. True power is not about forcing your will or control onto others. It's got nothing to do with being better or superior to others. It's not about using underhanded manipulation or fear or emotional blackmail against others who are seeking help. All of that is just ego-driven, power-hungry behavior. And everything I just stated there is an externalized use of force and intimidation, not true power. True, genuine power is completely internalized. Real power is about knowing yourself, recognizing your strengths and your weaknesses, humbling yourself, acknowledging your own shit, admitting where you tend to get in your own way and changing that dynamic, injecting necessary perspective and reflection in your life all the time, discovering your talents and working to develop them, fearlessly looking at your drawbacks and how to recognize where those drawbacks holding you hostage to a belief system that is not allowing you to heal. You know, real power is being impeccable with your word, having strong integrity, being accountable for your actions, thinking before you speak, listening more than you talk, becoming the observer without judgment, but lots of discernment. Putting yourself in someone else's shoes for real and not pretending to do it. None of this fake compassion and empathy bullshit. Holding your own power means never expecting anything out of another human being that you are not willing to do for yourself. Apologizing when it is required. That one right there separates the power-hungry narcissist from the real deals. Building strong boundaries and not walls. Man, that's powerful. Whew. The ability to trust your intuition, being able to feel everything and not allow it to break you or allow it to strangle your joy. Demanding respect from yourself more than you expected from others. Respecting your valuable time and not wasting it on pointless distractions. Recognizing when you're being taken advantage of. You know, the onus is square on your shoulders to gain better discernment of the situation, take appropriate action, and never use the victim card. Real power is knowing when to speak up and when to shut up. It's realizing that not everything you have to say is important. It's knowing how to read the room. Oh, man, that's one of the most underrated talents out there. If you don't know what read the room means, look it up. You know, the ability to have perspective and not see everything from your point of view, that's power. The acceptance that with power comes the understanding that the buck stops with you. The responsibility one has with harnessing their power is never to be taken lightly. And I'm sure I've left out other aspects of what true power is, but you get the drift. You know, these are qualities you want to attain over time. And as you do that, the trick and the test for you is avoiding all the traps where you give your power away to others. So I jotted down a list of what I see as power draining traps. So let's take a look at those. The first one I wrote down is, I think, one of the most important, and that is never hand your power over to another human being, no matter how enlightened you believe they are. Ugh. Any true healer or teacher would never, ever allow you to do that. Remember that. If you just remember one thing from this episode, please remember that. People give away their power to the healer, whether it's a medical doctor on one side or a shaman on the other side. We believe that without us having to lift a thumb, some magic occurs and poof, we're healed. But a healer is just a conduit who keeps the space so that we can heal ourselves. Nobody lives in your body, even a shaman who might have the power, the real power, not the false bullshit sociopathic narcissist masquerading as shamans. Even the truly gifted can't gather the fragments of your broken self if the you that inhabits the body and mind doesn't agree to not fracture yourself again. If you still believe your only true power is to play the eternal victim because that's the food you chew, you will not be healed. Because your need to consume the crumbs of your own eventual destruction is greater than the courage it takes to see where you have been getting in your own way. You know, there's a great quote I copied and taped to my office wall years ago when I started my healing journey. I'm looking at it right now. The quote is by Miriam Hosna, and here it is. A healer does not heal you. A healer is someone who holds space for you while you awaken your inner healer, so you can heal yourself. I encourage you to find that quote, and I think you should print it out or write it down, and I think you should read it every day. Another way you give away your power relates to what I was talking about earlier in reference to retreats and group healing sessions. And this is all about not betraying the sacredness of your individual healing to the often chaotic energies of the group mentality. I've talked to other therapists and trauma facilitators, and a large percentage of them agree with me. If you're in a fragile state of mind and have not experienced your breakthrough breakdown moment that often is the catalyzer for your alchemical healing work, do not give your power to a group healing retreat. A lot of people go to these events who really are walking on the razor's edge, and what they actually need is one-on-one private sessions with qualified therapists. I have tremendous passion for people who are searching and not aware of the cyclone they carry inside them. You don't want that cyclone to erupt in a group therapy session of total strangers. Not because it's ugly to observe, that goes without saying. And yes, I've been there, so I speak from experience. And no, I wasn't in a group when it happened. The point is that your trauma is your trauma, and it should be honored and held in a sacred space that is just for you and your trusted facilitator. The other aspect of group healings that is not talked about is the unseen but very powerful energy that settles and explodes in that space. That energy is as thick as butter, and it's as heavy as a 2-ton boulder. You walk out of that room and come back in, and you are hit with that stench of grief and mourning and loss, and you are taking all of that unseen energy into your body and your mind and your spirit. Everyone becomes a magnet in these rooms. I don't care if it's a room of 15 people. When you think, what could go wrong with just 15 people? A lot could go wrong. You're not an individual anymore, okay? You've agreed to be part of a temporary collective, that group, and you are now melded into everyone else's distortions, pain, deep unfelt trauma, and so on. Their pain latches onto your pain. Your trauma is activated by their trauma. You have now embedded yourself in the center of a tornado that spits venom, and you will often find yourself at the mercy of that venom. You've innocently come to this retreat to heal whatever is broken, and suddenly you're not able to do that because the guy or gal next to you is understandably imploding. And as someone who has been in this exact situation, I have deep compassion for the person who is having the disruptive reaction. while at the same time feeling low-level resentment toward the facilitators who are often allowing these disruptions to go on a lot longer than they should and don't appreciate how these interruptions do nothing for the rest of the people there who have paid good money and are, ironically, feeling powerless in this situation. I'm not against workshops or retreats in general. I am against group healings because I don't think you can effectively truly heal in a group setting for the reasons I've given. I'm absolutely against putting yourself and your progress at risk. If you are new to this work and have not had your breakthrough breakdown moment yet and you attend one of these events, you're not just giving away your power, you're taking this very sacred moment and you're diluting it within a group of strangers, some of whom will have tremendous sympathy for you and others who are going to judge you and dislike you for screwing up their retreat. And if you say, oh, Laurel, that's not true, I say bullshit because I've experienced it more times for it to be a coincidence. Stop giving your power away when you delegate someone else as your advocate and choosing to stop having a voice in your own pathway forward. I've known too many people, sadly, who remove themselves from their own doctor's visits and appoint a partner, a child, sibling, or a friend as their go-between. I've known people who are driven to their appointment and sit in the car or the waiting room while his or her health advocate, as they're often called, bear the responsibility of talking to the doctor, learning about the options, and then presenting them to the patient who always says, whatever you think is best. You know, it's maddening when I encounter it because talk about totally abdicating your complete power and putting that type of responsibility and pressure onto someone else who doesn't want to carry that burden. You cannot and will not heal if you do not become your own advocate. Show up at the meetings and appointments that have to do with you. Learn what this and that is. Stop playing dumb in order to not participate in your own life. And stop giving your power away to self-pity and behave as if you don't matter or life doesn't matter. You matter, okay? Whether you matter to anyone else is beside the point. You matter. You were born for a reason and you have to figure out what that reason is. It can take a lifetime, but that's one of the reasons you came into this life and this world at this time. You know, stop giving away the power of your voice. This is a big one. Stop believing that what you have to say is not important. I'm not saying be a chatterbox or dominate conversations, but speak up about things that you normally stay silent about. And if you've been obligated, for example, to take part in a family gathering that always devolves into bitterness and makes everyone feel like they have targets on their backs, speak up and decline the invitation to the slaughter. I've done this, and while it truly shocked various individuals, I certainly got my message across, and once I was able to have the guts to do it one time, well, the second and third time was a cakewalk. You know, I'm not talking about avoidance here. I'm not talking about declining an invitation because you want to avoid social interaction with good people. I'm talking about disempowering yourself by putting up with degrading or even abusive behavior. You know, when I was a child, I had a speech impairment. I had a sporadic stutter and a constant lisp. And on top of that, I was painfully shy. And if you don't think that was fodder for bullies, you don't know how evil some kids can be. But I had speech therapy and got over it, obviously. And I've made a living as a writer and a communicator since my mid-20s. So if I can learn to speak up and do it clearly and consistently, so can you. Here's another important one that took me a long time to change. But once I did, people noticed. Stop giving your power away when you tolerate insulting, rude, and dismissive attitudes and behaviors toward you. What happened to civility? What happened to manners? I wish I knew. But you know, you don't have to endure that shit, especially from friends, family, or partners. There's another great quote I hung up in my office. I'm looking at also right now. Be careful what you tolerate. You are teaching people how to treat you. Dr. Phil McGraw said that, and whatever you think about Dr. Phil, I think that quote is spot on. Own how you have allowed other people to talk to you and treat you and dismiss you, and how you have stayed silent, maybe like, you know, keep the peace, sound familiar, but there was never any peace within you, right? Right. Yeah. Never allow anyone to degrade or insult you simply because they can or have done in the past. Stand your ground. I don't care how terrified you are. or if you stutter like I used to. You don't have to use violence or threats. Sometimes a reaction of stony silence from you, followed by a death stare, followed by a good, there's the door, use it, statement, carries a lot of weight. Stop giving your power away when you mindlessly parrot someone else's words, beliefs, or mantras until you have thoroughly investigated whether they are truly how you feel and believe. You'll never become powerful if you continue to enable weakness in yourself. Nobody has ever become powerful by caving into their own weaknesses. Life is tough. Man, life can be brutal. This world can be cruel and is incredibly unforgiving. The only way to successfully navigate this existence is to constantly strengthen every weakness by fortifying yourself with experiences that allow you to overcome those weaknesses. You know, you're only as strong as your greatest weakness, as the saying goes, and you're only as powerful as your commitment to overcoming any weakness that is preventing you from healing and moving forward. Here's a big one. Stop giving power to your illness by strongly identifying with your disease. I'm going to do an entire show on this topic, and it's going to piss a lot of people off, but oh well. Stop identifying with your illness. You are not your illness. You have your illness. It exists. You're not denying it. But stop using your disease or your illness's name as a label for who you are as a human being. You are a person with fill-in-the-blank condition, but it is not who you are. Stop calling yourself a blank sufferer or a blank survivor. When you entangle yourself and define yourself by a disease, you unconsciously become that illness, and then you can't extricate yourself from the spirit of that illness. It latches onto you energetically. It literally becomes who you are, and it also becomes the dominant conversation in your life. The more you keep talking about what you have, the more you become attached to that illness, and the more it becomes attached to you. A sick, symbiotic relationship is forged that steals any true power you could ever attempt to embody. And while we're on that subject, stop draining your intrinsic power source when you focus incessantly on your problems. Psychologists have a name for this. They call it rumination. Rumination is pessimistic, circular thinking, and unconstructive, obsessive focus on whatever your condition or your problem is that never leads to useful action or solutions. It is one of the most destructive cognitive patterns you can engage in because it prevents and destroys any chance you have of becoming an empowered individual. Rumination keeps you stuck mentally and emotionally in whatever situation you're dealing with, and that means you are stuck physically as well. And when you're stuck, that means you're resisting, and when you're resisting, you cannot heal. Rumination always makes you feel weaker, and it corrupts your ability to think clearly and get out of your own way. And because it is so deviously self-focused, it can destroy marriages, family relationships, and friendships. People will avoid you because they are sick and tired of your one-note conversations. I was guilty of doing this, okay? I can attest to how it dangerously affected my relationships and my health and my progress. It really, really is a destructive pattern that you have to consciously choose to stop, okay? You need to consciously train yourself. And thankfully, patterns can be broken. Break the cycle by taking a walk, walking your dog, playing with your animals, chopping wood, doing errands. That's a good one. Plant some flowers and vegetables. Get involved in hobbies. Watch a funny movie. Listen to upbeat music that makes you happy. Nothing depressing or morose. Volunteer your time. That's a good one. In uplifting groups that are not related to your illness or your problems. That's really important. You'll never be able to build your power center if all you do is repeatedly gin up the soup that you continually choke on. And this leads into the next power drainer I wrote down. Put the kibosh on infinite therapy. In the first episode, I talked about my grandmother, who was a sought-after British psychoanalyst. She told everyone that she took on in her practice that she would give them 6 months of weekly sessions and no more, because she said that after 6 months of therapy, if they weren't able to put into practical action what she had taught them, they were never going to do it, and she would just be babysitting them after that point. And I can attest that she did, in fact, kick them to the curb after 6 months because she had a long waiting list and a short fuse for lack of motivation. I began to see the value in this early on in my own healing journey because I encountered too many therapists of all types that just wanted to drag me along and not really help lead me toward any meaningful change. And I'd always allow sufficient, reasonable time to instigate the change I was looking for based on what the specific issue was. And I was always all in and did whatever was asked of me. But if after a certain time period that had been discussed from the beginning and agreed upon that I didn't see any positive changes, I stopped going to that therapist. I did find tremendously effective therapies that were ideal for me, and those typically showed their efficacy from the very first session, if not the second. And those sessions always showed me how ineffective the other therapies were and that I'd really made the right decision. You know, when you stop falling off the wagon of your own integrity and you start doing what you say you're going to do and you stop allowing people to take advantage of you, people will treat you differently. Some people are not going to like the fact that you're no longer the get-along, go-along gal or that they've been used to manipulating for their benefit. They are not going to know what to make of your ability to build beautiful, healthy boundaries, and it's going to piss them off. But let them be pissed off and continue to maintain your boundaries. Because as that saying goes, the only people who get upset about you setting boundaries are the ones who were benefiting from you having none. Nobody is going to hand you power. That's up to you and you alone to reclaim. If people have known you as spineless and malleable, submissive and agreeable, they are feasting on the fruits of those weaknesses, and they are not going to encourage you to gain a scintilla of power, because your weakness has always been their gain. So it's up to you. Go forth and give it your all and remember who you are. And with that, I'm going to end this episode by reading something I wrote to myself late one night in the fall of 2022. This is the first time I've ever shared it, and I hope it resonates for a lot of you who are listening. I remembered who I am, and that changed everything. I remembered who I am, not who I'm going to be, not who I hope to be, not myself attached to an outcome, not me projected through my work. I remembered me, the one who has been waiting forever to be felt again, who ducked away and watched and believed that one day she could feel the sinew of the body again, to inhabit the drive that is precise now, to walk again with awareness and new eyes, to feel a compassionate cynicism that wasn't heartless, to fail just to gain greater wisdom, to trust implicitly because I have no choice but to fall into this new suit and experience how it's reflected back to me by others, to soak in the peace when the walls are falling around me, to hold myself in the center of myself again for the first time and be reunited with the divine and destiny, because I finally clearly see that I matter. I matter, and I came into this body for a reason. And that reason is remembering who I am and what has been gestating in the etheric for decades, maturing and waiting for the door to open and return to the field is finally here. And while more lost parts may still be floating around, the one that finally knew it was safe to return stepped up, walked inside, and came back to the fold. Like a key in a lock, with one click, it all flipped. It was there all along. It just took till now. To have the courage to trust what I know but can't see. To accept I have no control. There are no sure things. Life is unfair. Life is brutal. But suffering is optional. I found my power. It all changed when I stopped feeding that constantly starving wolf and fed the fat and sinew and bone to myself instead. And I finally inhabited my natural space. And I maintained that space because I remembered who I am. I remembered me. And that changed everything. That's all for this week. Thank you so much for choosing to listen to this show. If you like what you hear, share this podcast with others and follow me. Check out the notes for this episode where you'll find the links to Instagram and X at Laurel Dewey or The Alchemy of Natural Healing. I appreciate all your great messages and hearing about how this show is helping you. I'm looking forward to having you join me next week here when I tell you all about the mistakes I made along the way in my healing journey and how you can hopefully avoid them. New episodes drop every Saturday. Until then, remember that awareness is a demanding mistress. Once she wakes you up, she won't let you go back to sleep.